From the Sydney Morning Herald, Adam Penn. Gilly, morning to you, mate.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys. You can tell it's Friday, can't you? You boys are up and about today.
Well,
it's better than Monday.
Impossible not to be with this bloke next to us. But what did you make of that match last night? 20-10 at Brookie, Roosters beating Manly.
Yeah, they were fantastic, weren't they, Manly? I think every person that put a jersey on for Manly last night, as well as Coach Des Hasler, Jared, should be extremely proud of their efforts. So obviously, severely undermanned. And I thought the Roosters win the game and win it pretty comfortably, but Manly, I tell you what, they hung in there for a long, long time. I must admit, I was worried after the first 5 or 6 minutes. Oh, this could be it. It could be an absolute cricket score here tonight after Manly Roosters scored that first try. But to their credit, Manly hung in there and probably you could make a case to say they're probably the better team in the second half. Just probably like that polish on the edges to try and peg back a try to. They needed to get right back in the game. But I thought young Zach Fulton, how good was he on debut last night in the last 25, 30 minutes? Only had limited opportunity, obviously, in that second half. But I thought he was great. And that's set two with Jared Warrior-Hargreaves. I saw the camera sort of caught them after full time and shaking hands. I don't think there was too many pleasantries exchanged, by putting in those terms as well. Another young fellow's on debut, and I suppose Jared's giving a bit of initiation in the first grade. But very interested to see what comes out of that from the match review community this morning with Jared being put in a report for that nasty elbow.
Mate, I want to know your thoughts on the concussion at the moment. We saw Lindsay Collins get knocked out again after the Origin and then get another head knock last night. What you reckon they're going to re-look at it now and have longer layoffs for players?
Yeah, it's a worry block, isn't it? Like that one with Lindsay Collins last night, first and foremost, that was nasty, wasn't it? Coming straight after that one in Origin 3. So I'd imagine Lindsay will be spending a fair few weeks on the sidelines and be going through all the appropriate tests. The Roosters, we know, handle all their players with extreme caution and care. And no doubt Lindsay will go through all the tests and see a neurologist and whatever else. But it's hard to see him playing again in the next sort of at an absolute minimum 3 to 4 weeks. What it means for the rest of his season, I don't know yet. Obviously, waiting to see what the results of those tests are. But that was a really, really nasty concussion. To have two heavy concussions like that in the space of, what is it, about 3 weeks, there's got to be a massive worry for the Roosters. And we've been talking about it all week, Block, with Kalen Ponga, obviously, as well. Like, he's got to see the neurologist. I think it's today his appointment is. And I can't see Newcastle risking on playing him again this year, given they've got absolutely nothing to play for in terms of ladder position. They're not going to qualify for the finals. He's their biggest asset. $1 million a season player, you'd put him on ice, wouldn't you? You'd think for the rest of the year and just try and get him ready for 2023. But it's a massive issue in the game, isn't it? And we are seeing players having longer layoffs and taking more time away from the field. But you speak to different types of people who have experience in this field and they can't even be agree themselves on what's an appropriate time to rest. So I'm not quite sure how it's going to play out, but I'd imagine Lindsay Collins might be staying on the football field for a significant amount of time.
Two-pronged question on my Mighty Tigers. Let's hope that Luke Brooks hasn't played his last game for the Tigers. It'd be a sad way to finish. And David Nofaluma, mate, he's been the Tigers' best player over the last couple of years. They put him in reserve grade. What's the reasoning behind letting him go?
Yeah, Block, this trade window deadline is August 1. I can understand from both parties why it works. Melbourne are obviously very skinny on the outside backs and struggling to fill depth in those positions, and a lot of injuries to their outside backs, and they desperately want someone to try and fill a hole for the rest of the season. From the Tigers' point of view, it works as well because they're going to save a lot of money on their salary cap for the next 3 months, given Nofaluma is probably one of their highest paid players. And then they can use that money to front pay some players for next year. So say, for example, you can start paying an Adam Dewey an extra 100 or 120 grand in his salary for next year and save some money on your salary cap next year. So you can see why it's a win-win for both clubs in that situation. But I've got a massive issue with this because I just think it's way too late in the season, this August 1 deadline.
100%.
It's a huge problem, Jerry. Like, to me, it's corrupting the competition.
It's ridiculous. Like, August 1, to be able to change your roster 1 month before the finals is ridiculous.
We see it a lot in the American sports, in particular baseball, where you can be playing for a team one night, you can be playing for a club that's not going to contend for the playoffs. And all of a sudden they say, okay, we're going to try and reduce our payroll or whatever else. You're going to go to a team that's contending for the playoffs. We're going to shed your salary and you go play for them. But in the NRL, like we try and build this loyalty. And it's a test of endurance and durability over the course of a 25-round season plus finals. And with 4 or 5 weeks to go in the regular season, to then say, okay, you play for a lower-ranked team. You're not going to make the finals. A higher-ranked team comes in and picks you up and says, we're going to use you to try and make the finals. And I don't like it at all. And we need to go back to that mid-season around June 30 deadline. Yeah. I think that's okay. I can handle that sort of 2.5 months or two and a half months out from the finals. But August 1, in my mind, boys, is just way, way too late.
What do you read into this, Adam? There's some talk around Luke Brooks having played his last game. And what's the most likely destination for him? And also, you know, they've been looking at Jackson Hastings as a lock forward. But moving forward for him, does he stay at the club because they've put Jock Madden now in as the seven to replace Luke Brooks? I mean, how's this all going to play out for the Tigers? Because you keep hearing about, you know, Jackson Hastings might be released at the end of the year. There's talk about Luke Brooks possibly being released at the end of the year. Who stays, who goes, do you think?
Yeah, very good question, Loz. I think, you know, there's a lot to play out on this front. I think if it's at this stage, I would not be surprised to see if Luke Brooks goes to Newcastle and he's played his last game for the Tigers, if he can't get back from this calf injury, which would be such a shame given he's given a lot of service to the club over many years. He's been through an extremely difficult time. But even just judging by some of his language in the last month or two, saying that his next decision is going to be for himself, I think he's almost resigned to the fact that his future lies elsewhere from the Tigers. Now, Newcastle, they still need some help in the halves, don't they? Adam Clune's done a serviceable job this year, but he's probably not the guy they're going to want to rely on going forward. Jake Clifford's been languishing in the reserves, had some off-field issues as well. And Anthony Milford's heading back to the Dolphins. So, you know, they need some help in the halves. Newcastle, I'd say at this stage, Luke Brooks is probably the guy the Tigers can move. But as it stands at the moment, you know, those four guys cannot fit into two spots. I'm talking about Brooks, Jackson Hastings, Adam Dewey and Jock Madden. One of them needs to go at the very least, I would have thought. And that's going to be up to Tim Sheens and Benji to decide. I know Sheens is very keen to see how Jackson Hastings goes at lock in his next sort of short period before the end of the season. He's wanted to try that for a while now. Whether Jacko's quite on board with that and is fully committed to playing lock for the foreseeable future and into next year, I'm not too sure. But I think Luke Brooks just needs to get away from Concord and just try something different. I know you're not going to like me saying that, Blocker, but...
No, but you're probably right. I've been saying it for a while.
Start.
Yeah.
All right, let's find some winners tomorrow at Rosehill Gardens. What do you like?
Yeah, I'm on the same train as Ali Mosley there, Jared. Race 7, number 1, Wicklow, is my best bet on the program. I thought he's really good in the South Grafton Cup without a lot of luck. It was a really strong race this year, given it had implications for the big dance. We know he loves racing at Rosehill, even though his form from there is probably sort of cemented there 12 months ago. 800 metres at Rosehill is right down his alley, so he's my best bet on the program. My best value is race 2, number 2, Hell I Am, in the 2-year-old race. I thought he was great first up there at Canterbury. Two horses I want to play in this race. I think Hell I Am's a big chance of running well at a nice each-way price. And the other horse I'm quite keen to play in the race is Annabelle Nation's horse, Voldemort, who's resuming as well from a spell. He did a couple of nice things in his first preparation as a 2-year-old. So that's my plays at Rosehill there tomorrow. Best bet on the program, race 7, number 1, Wicklow. And the best value is race 2, number 2, Hell I Am.
Okay, Wicklow 7-1, $3.40, and Hell I Am 2-2, $8 the win, $2.70 the place. Can you give a push for Daly's multi? Well, you probably haven't looked at Mooney Valley, but he's got Charlemagne top 2, and at Rose Hill, Shades of Rose, which is the favourite in race 5.
You haven't looked at Mooney Valley, apologies, Jerry, but Shades of Rose is much better last start after. She did that buck jumping display first up there at Rose Hill and was completely put out of play after that. So, yeah, she finds a really suitable race and handles the wet track. So, no complaints there, Loz. And I'm very keen to see him get his block bet off the ground. He's been costing the company too much money lately, so... might be a bit of an issue.
Yeah, no, he's...
Hey, you're kidding. I'm an intern. I'm only getting apprentice wages here.
No, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried that multi's getting up all the...
We want the block bet.
No, mate, you can't. Let's talk to Tab.
By the way, Shades of Rose is the best back runner on the program by some distance tomorrow, Loz. So there you go.
There you go. There you go. Where does that saying... come from?
Well, there you go.
Does that just confirm what I've just said? Does that confirm that's why I've got it in the multi?
Yep.
The way you said that then, there you go.
I was just giving you some confidence, that's all.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Yeah. There you go.
Adam, have a good day, mate. You don't have to listen to us anymore.
No, it's all good. See you, boys. Before I go, I just want to say a massive good luck to JR. Inspiration, what she's trying to do. So good luck to her over there swimming the English Channel.
Yeah, good call.
That's mad.
Great stuff. Thank you, Adam Pengilly there. And a reminder. And by the way, what are you two doing?
Well, Blocker wants to sound like he's 21 again. That's
what?
Mad.
That's mad. What's wrong with that?
That's You're not mad. 21.
That's mad.
That's something a 21-year-old would say, not a 60-year-old.
I am 60.